I'm calling you. I'm calling you to a higher place with me, says the Lord. I'm calling you to a holy, holy life in me, says the Lord. There is no sin that can keep you bound. There is no behavior that can keep you bound. I have set you free. I set you free when you received my life. When you were born again, you were made free. You were made a new creature. My life is in you, and the power of my spirit lives in you. And sin no longer has dominion over you. You have the strength, and you have the ability and the power to overcome any kind of sin that may beset you in this life. The blood of my Son was sufficient. It cleansed you of all sin, took away all your sin. And when I raised my Son from the dead, when I lifted him up and he came out of the tomb, you were raised to newness of life with him at that time. And as you put your faith in him, that life that was imparted unto him has been imparted unto you. My life, a life that you never had before because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. But that is not the case any longer. You have my life. You are my child, and you can live according to my holy word. I will not ask you to do anything that you can't do. You are able to live above sin and the power of it. That power was broken. That power was broken over you. You're not the person that you were before you were born again. You had no choice but to sin in those days. It's all you knew. It was your nature to do so, because your spirit was dead. Yes, you had physical life, but your spirit was dead. Dead because of Adam's sin. Death passed upon every man because of Adam. But my Adam, the last Adam, Jesus, my Son, he made the way for you. He made the way. And he broke that power. He lived it. He was alive when he was born. He was spiritually alive when he was born. But he took your sin upon him. Every sin you ever committed, every sin you will ever commit, he bore it all. He actually became sin for you, that you might become his righteousness. He had to die. He had to die because of the sin he was bearing. You will never know what he bore. Only myself and the Son and the Spirit can know the agony that my Son endured for you. But it did not end there. It did not end there. I raised him up, and I gave him life again. And that life that I gave unto him is the same life that I gave unto you when you put your faith in him and in his sacrifice that he made for you. Do not diminish it. Do not diminish it. Yes, you do have a free will. And you can choose to do whatever you like in this life. But know this. The wages of sin are death. The wages of sin, it's death. And that truth will never change. That is the reason why you needed life, so that you could be set free from the wages of sin, so that you could have life evermore and that you could live in my presence for all eternity. There is coming a day. There is coming a day when you will be with me. You will be with me forever and ever. After the culmination of all things, you will be with me forever. But until then, you are my representatives in this earth. You are the body of Christ. You are the ones that I move through and work through to minister to other people who do not have the life that you have. Those that are so desperate and in need. If people can't see that you are different, if people can't see that you have a life that they don't have, why should they pay any attention to anything you even have to say? They have to see me in you. They must see my life at work in you. They must see that you can be joyous even in times of sorrow. They must see that you have a strength that they do not have. They must see that you are different because you live and you move according to the principles of my kingdom and not the ways of this world. Have I not told you in my word that if you are a friend of the world, you are at enmity with me? You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It simply does not work. You will be miserable. Put both feet into my kingdom. Walk with both feet in my kingdom and in my love and in the life that I have given you. It is a great life. It is a precious life. And the more you seek my face, the more you come into my presence, the more you will know this life and understand what has been given unto you. Seek me. Seek me in the prayer closet. Seek me through my word. My word is the bread of life. It will help your spirit to grow and to mature. It will help you to mature into the image of my Son. Know me. Know me. Know me like you've never known me before. I'm calling you. I'm calling you to a higher place. A higher place in me. A holy, holy life in me. An intimate walk with me that will change you for all eternity. And that will enable you to minister to the lost and dying of this world. I don't want to see anyone perish. I don't want to see one perish. That is not my will. But they must see my life in you and my holiness in you. I'm calling you. Will you obey? Will you obey? Will you obey?
Tonight's message is one that up until last week I could not share with you. Now you're going to understand why as I go into this. Last week I was in Canada with Gary Carpenter, and we were ministering at a Power and Truth conference, a church in Oshawa, River of Life Worship Center in Oshawa, Canada, Oshawa, Ontario. It's a northeast suburb of Toronto. Now, prior to Gary, Kathy and I picked him up at the airport, Toronto airport, and then we went on to the, we actually all stayed at the pastor's house. And the services were great. We had a wonderful time. But there were some things that took place before this conference that until now, well, until the conference, I was not at liberty to share. So what I'm going to do is share with you what happened, because it was already shared publicly at the conference, recorded and so forth, and I know it's okay. Prior to the conference, Gary Carpenter fought a tremendous battle against skin cancer. What happened, his mother had this like a spot on her nose and something else on her arm, and she was concerned about it. She's 91 years old, and she was concerned about it. So Gary took her to the doctor. And as I sat in there with the doctor said, that looks a little questionable. So here's what we want to do. We want to do a biopsy and check it out. So they did the biopsy, and they determined that, yes, this is some kind of a cancer. So they said, Mrs. Carpenter, what we want to do is send you over to this expert. And this happened to be a doctor she'd seen years before, this other expert, and let him tell you what he wants to do as far as treatment is concerned. So they scheduled the appointment, and Gary took his mom, and they went to the other doctor, the expert. And they were in there in the exam room, and the doctor is looking at her, and he's checking out the spot on her nose and the spot on her arm. And he said, Mrs. Carpenter, I have to be honest with you, I'm not seeing what they saw. He said, I believe when they did the biopsy, they got everything there on your nose, because it wasn't very big. He said, when they put the needle in there to do the biopsy, he said, I think they got it all. I just can't. And then the thing on your arm, he said, I don't think that's what they said it was anyway. And so she looked at him and she said, well, how can we know for sure? He said, well, there is a way. He said, I can write you a prescription for this particular cream. And you take this cream and you just, you know, put a little bit on the spot. And if there is cancer in that place where you put the cream, then the next morning when you get up, you're going to know it, because it will cause that cancer to erupt. So the prescription without insurance was over $900 for this tube of cream. Well, thank God she had good insurance and didn't have to pay that much for it. So they got the cream and they went home. And she took the cream and put the little dab there on her arm, and just that little spot right there on her nose. And got up the next day, nothing. Well, she did it the second day and then got up, nothing. And in 3 days, nothing showed up. And so she was convinced, okay, well, everything's fine, not a problem. Well, she looked at Gary, and she said, you know, you've talked about these little, like, pimples that you would get, like a couple of them here on your face. And you said that they've been popping up every now and then over the last several years. She said, you take this cream and put it on them, see what happens. And Gary said that, yeah, he had these little pimples pop up, but it wasn't a big deal. I mean, they weren't like these big things, just something little thing there. And then it would just go away. And the way Gary tells it, he said, I don't care if you are 65 years old. When your 91-year-old mother tells you to do something, you do it. So he took the cream and he went home and, you know, got a little dab there, and he put it, you know, where those He had a couple of them there on his face. So he put it on his face. Went to bed. Woke up the next morning. And he said, you would not believe what my face looked like. And it was this... It looked gross. All right? Well, he took some more cream the next day. And he put it a little bit bigger place on his face. Not just on those little spots, but put it out further around. Got up the next morning. I mean, this stuff, wherever he put that cream, it had erupted. So he spreads out a little bit more. And the next morning, even more. And so he ends up spreading it like from his forehead all the way down to like his chin. The whole left side of his face erupted. And the instructions on the cream were, you have to use this every day. And as you use it, this cream actually kills the cancer. But you have to keep using it for 6 weeks. And at the end of 6 weeks, if there's anything left, you need to go back to the doctor. So Gary was using it for the full 6 week cycle. And it really got bad. And I'm going to show you the picture that he showed people at the conference. This was the picture he sent me back during the middle of the cream treatment. And he had asked me not to tell anybody about this or to show the picture because he didn't want people having him dead and buried. You know how some people talk? And he did not go to church the entire 6 weeks because he was afraid or concerned that he was going to scare children when he got to church. And then plus the people talking. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this picture here with Cindy and you can just kind of pass it around and take a look. It is absolutely unbelievable. Now, he kept using the cream and he said the whole time he was using it, he had this low-grade fever, about 100, 101 all the time. So he felt kind of lousy, felt kind of weak, and he felt so bad that he didn't even want to drink coffee or eat a hamburger. Now with Gary, if he doesn't want to drink coffee or eat a hamburger, you know he's not feeling good. So he's dealing with all of this, and you know, it hurt. It just was irritating, and it actually began to spread a little bit more to where it got around his left eye. His lips began to puff out, began to split. He said, I couldn't talk without my lips starting to bleed. Because what happened, this stuff got into his system here in his face, like under his skin, and it was the medication in the cream was like spreading under his skin looking for this stuff. And everywhere it came in contact with, it would erupt like that. And that picture really isn't the worst of it because that doesn't show how it got around his eyes and around the lips and everything like that. Well, he was in the shower one day. This was like toward the end. And over time, he noticed that it started to recede what was there. But anyway, he was in the shower, got out, and just kind of lightly brushed his face. Not on purpose, it just, you know, kind of brushed it. And he said it looked like black ash was falling off his face. And what it was, this cream was killing the cancer, almost like, I guess, burning it. But underneath where the black ash was this perfect skin. Now, he did not go to church until the Wednesday before he left to go to Canada. And we picked him up at the airport on the 13th. 13th or 12th? The 12th. Or the 13th, but it was the 12th. So it was the 5th. The 5th was his first service back at church. And then we picked him up 7 days later at the airport. Well, by the time he got to the airport, his face was perfectly clear. Nothing remained. If you hadn't seen those pictures, if you did not know what had happened, you would never have known he had gone through this battle. The skin on his face is like the skin on a baby's bottom. The first service we were there at the conference, he was telling all about this. And he was explaining about the cancer, and it's like a baby's bottom. He was explaining about the cancer and how smooth it was. Well, anyway, there was a nurse there, and he said, feel this. Well, she felt it. Now, he hadn't said anything about it's like a baby's bottom, but she felt it. And she said, that's just like a baby's bottom. That's how clear and clean and perfect that skin was. And if you look at that picture was 3 weeks before we were in Canada with him. It went from that to perfectly clear in 3 weeks' time. Now, thank God for the cream, but that's a Jesus healing. Now, here's what's really neat about that. Gary didn't know that was cancer. He did not know that existed in his body. He did not know that that was under his skin, but it was there the whole time. And if it hadn't been for him taking his mother for a checkup, and if it hadn't been for the doctor explaining to his mother what to do, and if it hadn't been for her having the insurance to get the cream that she only used for 3 days, Gary would never have known that this existed and would never have been able to treat it. And who knows how far that would have progressed. And when his mother saw, like the picture that you just saw, when his mother saw that, she said, you need to go back to the doctor. She got concerned. He said, Mom, here on the instructions of the cream, it tells you this is going to happen. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And like I said, at the end of 6 weeks, if it's not all gone, then I will go back to the doctor. Well, he didn't have to pay a dime for any of this. And as he was using this, he's thinking, where in the world did this come from? Because he took some of the cream and put it over on the right side of his face, and there was nothing there. It was just over here on the left side. And he said, I'm wondering, what on earth has caused this? All of a sudden it hit him. 18 years prior to that, he had spent 6 years as a truck driver. His truck cab did not have air conditioning. And as he was making his runs through the desert, headed west, he had to have the window down and the sun was pounding on his face the whole time. So 6 years as a truck driver, that sun was beating on him and beating on him and beating on him. And then 18 years later, he finds out there was this cancer underneath there. And he didn't even know it. And he said, that's the first time God ever healed me when I didn't know I was sick. And as he was sharing this with me, my wheels are turning. And I'm thinking, wow. Look at the imagery here. And I couldn't say anything until after he had gotten to the point of everything I've shared with you. He shared it publicly, and like I said, it's been recorded, and he showed the pictures, so it's okay. So now I can tell you what the Lord was pointing out to me in this. Several months ago, he was sharing some things that happened, and he shared with me that some very tragic things happened to some people. And he shared with me that the reason these things happened to these people was not because of what they have done in the last few weeks, few months, or last year, or last... He said the reason this happened to them was because of a single decision they made years and years and years ago. And he said that single decision they made set off a chain of events in their life. And once they made that decision to do something wrong, it opened the door for additional attacks by the enemy. And that led to more deception and another wrong decision. and more deception and another wrong decision. Until it got to the point years later that what they had done 20 years ago, they didn't think was the impetus of their current problems in their life. And God said, if they hadn't made that decision years ago, they would not be going through what they're going through today. And I got to thinking about that. What in the world have I done 20 years, well, 30, 35, 40 years ago? What in the world have I done that has set off a chain of events in my life that's leading to whatever? Now, you may be sitting here thinking, I'm glad I ain't you, Pastor. What about your life? What about your life? You know, think of it this way. There you are, you're at home, and you're watching, you know, reruns of Lassie. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And you go and you open the door, and there's this guy standing there, and it's obvious he's higher than a kite, three sheets to the wind, bloodshot eyes, stringy hair. And he looks at you, and he says, is your name Bob? And you say, well, yeah, I'm Bob. Who are you?
I'm your son.
It's like, what? And as he begins talking to you, you realize the one night stand from 35 years ago is knocking on your door. Well, you didn't think anything about it at the time. I mean, you knew you shouldn't have been doing it, but you didn't think anything about it at the time. And now here you see the fruit of your actions. We do not realize that what we do can set off a domino effect in our life that can lead to tragic results. You know, I've thought about myself over the years and how, okay, here I am, I'm doing this. And I'm at this church and I'm pastoring and so forth. But I look back over my own life, ever since Kathy and I got married, at the decisions I've made and the decisions that we've made and how we were in one church. And then we left that church after a few years and we went to another church. And it was at the second church I acknowledged the call of God upon my life. Now that second church was a part of a denomination. Well, that's why I began preaching and eventually was pastoring in that denomination. But it was while I was pastoring in that denomination that I came in contact with Dave Roberson's ministry. And that led to a whole lot of stuff, so here I am today. But I got to thinking, what if Kathy and I had never left that first church? Would I have acknowledged the call of God on my life? See, I'm not sure. I'd like to think I would have, but I really don't know. And if I had acknowledged the call of God on my life, would I still have developed a relationship and friendship with Dave Roberson? Or would I have gone in a different direction? See, I don't know. And as I look back over it, I begin to realize there were decisions that I made that I'm not so sure I prayed about it as much as I should have. But those decisions completely altered my life. And Kathy's too. Completely altered my life. And not only our lives, but also the lives of all the people we've come in contact with since those decisions were made. Because if I hadn't made the right decisions back, or if I had not made the decisions I made back then there's a good chance I might not have met any of you. Now, for some of you, you might be thinking, well, glory. But I might not have met any of you. I mean, do you see what I'm getting at here? Now, Gary had that cancer in his body. And he didn't know it was there. But it had been there working unseen for 18 years. Growing, spreading, and if it hadn't been for the way this turned out for him to find it, the cream and all that, it'd still be there. Maybe for another 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, until finally something happened and they realized he's got a serious problem. Decisions that we make can result in something lying under the surface of our life and we don't even know it. We have no clue what's going on. We can make a decision. It's like, okay, here we are. We're living here in this house. And then we start thinking, I'm kind of bored with this house. You know, let's move. So we start driving around and we find, hey, I like this place over here. Why? Let's move. Price is right. We can afford it, et cetera, et cetera. So we move. That has now changed the course of my life. And if I did not have God's direction for that move, then I have set off something that could have an impact on me 10 years later, and I could be sitting down scratching my head trying to figure out how in the world did I end up in this mess, and it could all be traced back to that move 10 years ago. But I didn't know it. You say, well, what do we do? Because I can't sit around and think about everything I've done in my life and all the decisions I've made. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, what am I going to do? Well, let me ask you something. Do you think God is able to alter what you've altered? Think about it. I mean, when you start thinking about things like this, it almost gets like science fiction movie stuff. But do you think God has the ability to alter what you have already altered? Sure. Sure he can. Here's the kicker. We don't know how. How in the world can he change things when things exist and so on and all that? Well, he can do it. But I don't know how. I don't have to know how. See, when I was out there running around, and before I got married, when I was in rebellion to God, I'm doing the drugs, I'm doing the alcohol and so forth, let's just say that I had female friends, okay? And I've wondered, you know, boy, could somebody ever knock on my front door? I mean, I hope not. But what if? And I think about a lot of these other things that I did, and as I'm looking at my life, I'm starting to see how that decisions I made for God altered what I had originally altered. Because I had set in motion bad things in my life. But when I made a decision to start following after God, it was almost like he cut the ties to that bad stuff. Here's the thing. I don't even know how bad that bad stuff would have been. I don't know. Well, now, as a Christian, the same kind of a thing can exist. Meaning, well, you know, the Bible talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways acknowledge him. You know, he'll guide you, direct your paths and all that. See, if I don't do that, if I just assume I'm wise enough to make all the decisions in my life, it is inevitable that even as a Christian, I'm going to make a wrong decision and I'm going to regret it, and I could set in motion some things that could be absolutely devastating for me and people around me. And one of the things that I've become more aware of over the years is this. God is smarter than I. It's like we know that, but sometimes we don't act like we know it. He's the beginning from the end. He knows everything. I don't understand how he knows about stuff from next week, but he knows. And it's like, you know, we could stand before him and he could say, I know what you're going to do in 3 months. The decision you're facing right now, you have two choices. And I know what you're going to choose. And you say, well, okay, I'll choose the other thing. And he said, well, then let me show you what's going to happen if you choose the other thing. Well, okay, then what I'll do is I'll go back and choose number one. Well, then here's again what number one's going to result in. See, he knows. And because he knows, he's able, get this, to stick his hand into our future and help nullify the negative effects of what we did in our past. Now, in my life, I think I've got everything under control. I mean, we all do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all pretty much think we have our act together. We know, okay, well, I'm not perfect and all that. But there is a degree of self-assurance in all of us, unless we're really hammered with depression by the enemy. But God looks beyond my feelings of self-assurance, and he looks at what's going on in the real world of my inner gym and your inner you. And in other words, he looks beyond what we perceive about what is and is not good or right about our lives, and he sees what's really happening. Now, we don't always understand that. We don't always realize there's a problem. Have you ever talked to somebody who seems to have a pattern of a certain behavior that's maybe not a good behavior? And in the conversation, they say something like, I just don't know why I always act like that. You ever been around people like that? Okay. They don't know why they act that way, but they're acting that way. And then maybe they say something like, I'm trying so hard to change. And they've been trying so hard to change for 15 years. But there's been no change. Now, God's looking at them and he's saying, you know, I could help you with that, but you're going to have to let me. Because he knows why we're acting a certain way. He knows what's happening on the inside of us. Because it's possible something happened 20 years ago and we acted or reacted in a certain way and that set something off inside of us. There are some people walking around carrying anger and unforgiveness and bitterness on the inside of them for years and years and years, and it impacts and brings about an outward response in certain situations, and they act certain ways, and then sometimes if they're confronted by it, they'll, I don't know why I get like that. Okay, you may not. But there's somebody who does. And see, boy, God is who we're supposed to be like. Well, many times we dismiss the I don't know why I act like it stuff by saying, well, nobody can be like God. But God up in heaven has said, you be holy as I'm holy. Well, that means I can be it. God has said in his word, as I am, so are you in the world. Now, that's what God has said. That means that if there's anything about my character and my actions that contradict who he is, then I have not changed on the end. I may be born again, but that, you know, the stuff is still there under the surface. But I can't see it. I can't feel it. I don't know it's there, but it's there. And just like Gary, every now and then that little pimple would pop up. Well, every now and then, a personality pimple pops up. I mean, something happens. I just don't know why every time I get upset, you know, I just go grab a pack of cigarettes and smoke them. Or I just go get me a six-pack of beer. I don't know why I do that. I just, well, God does. See, that's not normal for a believer. It's not normal for a Christian. You know, one of the things, God helped me to understand something here not too long ago. According to the world, we may, everyone in this room, everybody watching, according to the world and the world's standards, every one of us may, could be diagnosed as 100% mentally normal. But if we were to lie down on God's therapy couch and undergo a session with Him, He could come back and say, you have real problems, and start telling us how messed up we are. But we seem normal to everybody else. Normal-minded to the world can be ate-up-minded in the kingdom of God. See? But because we fit in with world thinking, normal, I mean, you know, well, I don't want to go around killing people and things like that, so I must be okay. And God is saying, you're not okay. I'm glad you don't want to go around killing people, but you're not okay. Your mind is not right. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. When we get born again, we have the ability to use the mind of Christ, meaning a kingdom way of thinking, a God way of thinking, a Christ way of thinking, to analyze every problem that comes up in life, every adverse situation that comes up, every conflict that takes place, no matter what it is, we have the ability as a Christian to analyze the entire situation according to the mind of Christ. The problem is that we don't fully understand how to operate with the mind of Christ. We've become satisfied with being born again, but we're not dissatisfied enough with thinking the world's normal way. Jesus thought differently than the people around him. All you have to do is read the four Gospels. And his way of thinking at times confounded the people around him. But yet he was thinking with the mind of the Father. So here we are. We have this stuff under the surface. Outwardly, we look normal. We look like everything is fine. Outwardly, we're getting along with people. But let me just throw this in. As Christians, we are too quick to accommodate the ungodlike character of Christians who aren't pressing into God. And what I mean is this. We tend to accommodate and we tend to enable Christians whose minds aren't right. You say, well, how do we know our mind's right? When you start thinking the way Scripture is written. When you start thinking the way that God has expressed Himself in His Word, when that becomes the way you think, then your mind is now lining up with what is normal. See, the way that we think and the way that we analyze and approach things in this world is based upon Genesis 3, the fall. If there had never been a Genesis 3, the way we think about things, the way we look at things, a lot of the things that come up today, problems, wouldn't have come up if it hadn't been for Genesis 3. But we are accustomed to thinking on a Genesis 3 level, and God's wanting us to get to a Genesis 1 and 2 level, which is where Jesus thought. Remember, you know, there were times He'd say, how long am I going to have to put up with you guys? Remember that? It's because He wasn't thinking like them. He even said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. Well, they didn't understand that. He did. He understood it. We can go to Christian therapists and get a clean bill of mental health. But we may not get a clean bill of mental health from God. Because He's wanting us to begin to think like Him. Okay, so here we have this stuff on the inside. Now, we don't know what it is. We don't know where it is. We don't know why it's there. It's just, you know, stuff. And we learn to live with it. Well, that may be okay for us. God's not satisfied with that. He will, out of His grace, tolerate it. But He's not satisfied with it. Because He knows our potential. The worst thing that we can do is live every day of our lives satisfied with who we are. Because there's stuff under the surface that God wants to eradicate. Now let me show you scripture for this. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And if you look at verse 26, here's what it says. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit analyzes our life, and He sees the stuff that is right under the surface that we can't identify. That stuff that pops up every now and then is a personality pimple. He knows what's causing it. Now we say, I don't know why I act like that. And we learn to live with it. But the truth of the matter is, we shouldn't learn to live with it. We should get righteously angry at ourselves and realize, I have a problem. Now, the world may say, well, anyone would get upset with that. I mean, you could go, you know, beyond Dr. Phil, and he could say, well, you're normal. Anybody would do that. No, not anybody in the kingdom. Not kingdom people. They're not supposed to be like this. But I've got this stuff on the inside of me, and I look in the mirror, and I think I'm okay. And everybody else around me says, well, we sure do like you. You're a nice guy. But yet, sometimes I do non-God-like things. And it doesn't have to be sin. It's just character demonstrations that aren't of God. Well, that's not right. And I should not be willing to put up with that out of me. Because, like I said, we enable people to be like that. Because there are some folks, when you talk to them, you know, I've noticed you've been kind of edgy here lately. What I want to, you know what? And some people, man, they'll come out swinging, figuratively speaking. Don't you judge me. Who do you think? Hang him. Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, according to the Word of God, we're not supposed to be acting like this. And buddy, they'll just read you the riot act. And so we live in our own little compartmentalized world, putting up with all this stuff that nobody wants to change in their own lives because nobody really understands what's going on. And then here we have the third person of the Godhead who is saying, gee whiz, give me a chance here. Because you've got this stuff going on, and on the inside of you, the nature, the conscience of your born-again spirit and your new nature, you know that this stuff's not right. You know it. But you don't know how to change it. Not only that, stuff in there that you don't know is there. You know, I've shared before how that what's really going on in a person is going to rise up and come to the surface when adversity strikes or there's conflict. That's when you're going to know what's really happening inside that person. If the nature of Christ comes out, you know that they're making some efforts to conform to the image of Christ. Well, see, there's junk on the inside of some people. It may be there for 40 years until the right set of circumstances come up and that stuff erupts. Just like that cancer. 18 years. It was there under the skin. And if you looked at Gary, you would think, well, he's pretty healthy. He looks pretty good. But yet God's looking at Gary and he's saying, Gary, you've got a serious problem, and it could kill you. It could take you, it could disfigure you, it could all these. So here he ends up, and literally God works a miracle to get that cream into Gary's hands, and Gary didn't have to spend a dime for it. And now it's gone. The Holy Spirit, if he is turned loose in our lives, he not only will deal with the stuff that we don't like about us, but he starts digging deep. And he starts identifying the things in our lives we don't even know are there. We don't even recognize that there's something going on under the surface. We don't even know it. And so we begin to pray in tongues. We begin to pray in tongues. In other words, we begin to apply the cream of the Holy Ghost. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to erupt. The ugliness on the inside, the Holy Ghost is going to start bringing that out and showing you, this is what I have been looking at for 40 years. It's gross. Now, some people, when they get to that point, they stop praying. We sometimes refer to it as an impasse, to where you've prayed yourself to the place that the Holy Spirit can bring to light junk in you that God can't stand, but he loves you more than the stuff he can't stand. He can't stand it, and he knows it needs to be changed. Here's the problem. It's your issue, not his. So here, we start praying. Oh, God, I want to be like Jesus. And we begin praying. We keep praying. And the Holy Spirit is helping us with our infirmities. That's stuff we don't know how to pray about. I mean, how are you going to pray about something if you don't even know it's there? So he starts, you know, bringing this stuff up. And we see this. And we begin to realize there's some conflict going on. Well, what's happening is this. We're edifying our spirit above the control that thing has on us in our lives. And that thing that's been there for a long time doesn't want to give up. I mean, there's some weeds. You go out and try to pull them, they pull right up. Other weeds, it's like they got roots all the way to China. I'm talking little weeds. It's like, what in the world? And you got to get a diggy thing and dig it out. Well, that's the way it is, man. The Holy Spirit, he's your diggy thing. He's going to help you. He's going to help you dig this out. But the thing is, he'll bring it to the surface. You're the one who has to make the decision, I no longer want this in my life. I'm going to keep praying until I have eradicated this out. See, the Holy Spirit is not the one who's going to reach in and just instantly change everything about you. Look what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also delivers us from our infirmities? No. Helps. He's my helper. Because I don't know what to pray about. I don't know what's in there. So I start praying. And I keep praying and I keep praying. And he says, okay, I'm going to help you out with this because you don't see it. And because you don't see it, you're not sure what to do. I'll bring it to light. I'm going to help you bring this change about. You lend to me your authority and you pray. I will add to your authority my power. And this stuff is going to rise up. You're going to see it and you're going to know what changes to make. And you will affect those changes in your life. And the more these changes that you make is the more you're going to be set free from junk that's been hiding under the surface for years. Can you imagine the shock on Gary's? Well, I mean, he was shocked when he woke up that first morning and saw what was on his face. And the devil tried to attack him with fear. I mean, for crying out loud, you go to bed, everything looks okay. Wake up the next morning and, you know, stuff. Yeah, that caused you to sit back and think. Well, see, here we pray and we pray and we pray. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, I'm going to bring it out. Now I'm going to help you, but I won't do it for you. So I pray and 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 I pray. And change begins to take place because I want it to take place. And this is why I have to keep pressing in, and I have to keep praying, and I have to keep praying. Because if I stop, I basically have stopped him. Because Scripture tells me right here that when I, and again I'm paraphrasing, but when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is helping me in the area of these infirmities, because I don't know how to pray as I, you know, when I say something like, I just don't know what to do. You know what? That's how I frustrate people to no end. They come to me, Pastor, I just don't know what to do about this. You know, I'm so yucky. I just don't. And I tell them, well, you know, you need to pray in tongues. And they don't want to hear that. They want me to give them, you know, well, go get you a cherry lollipop and everything will be okay. I can't tell you to get a cherry lollipop. I can't tell you to go to the movie and have some buttered popcorn. I can't tell you to go to Marion's and have a pizza unless you take me. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only thing I can tell you is to apply the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit have the chance to help you with this thing to bring about the change. Well, Pastor, I tried that. I mean, do you understand, Pastor? Last week, I know for sure I spent 15 minutes praying in tongues. And I still don't like me. Listen, if you've had this thing under the surface for 18 years, then you're going to have to go through the full 6-week cycle of Holy Ghost cream. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
If Gary had stopped in week 5, that stuff would still be there. He had to go through the full 6-week cycle. And after he finished with that 6-week cycle, he put more cream all over his face. Nothing. It was gone. He didn't know it was there to begin with. So he didn't know there was a problem. So when it looked like it was gone, he wasn't satisfied. He put more cream on. Gonna find out. Got up the next morning, gone. Hallelujah. When you're going to let the Holy Spirit help you with your infirmities, you have to go through the full 6-week cycle and all the misery and the fever and the itching and the irritation and the scare of the little kids. Do you understand what I mean? You have to go through all that junk to get past it and eradicate it out of your life. And if you stop short, here, let me give you a clue. You pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, and you start feeling better about yourself. And so you stop praying as much as you were. Let's say you had made a decision. I'm praying an hour a day in tongues because I'm going to change this about me. Or I'm going to change the things I don't even know are there. So you pray an hour in tongues every day for like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And you're feeling pretty good about yourself. It's like, wow, things have changed. I mean, the sky is bluer, the grass is greener, the milkshakes taste better. And so you stop praying. Well, guess what? It may not be over. Assume you haven't changed. Keep praying. Because eventually you're going to develop the life pattern of being like God. It won't just be, oh, I can't act like this. Oh, boy, do I ever want to act like this. No, I mean, you get past that. See, some Christians don't think you can get past that. Well, I just have to control myself. You know what? The power of God's life on the inside of you is your control. But when you're having to exercise mental energy to control yourself, you need to pray more. Now listen, guys, you know what? If it was possible for me to sit in those pews while standing up here and listen to myself while I'm saying this, I would do it. Because I need to hear this too. Now,
no, I didn't.
My wife said, amen. she's right. She's right. She is. Because I get all goofy and spout off when I shouldn't. Then after the fact, I feel like a sheep-eating dog. And then it's like, oh, God, what did I do? And he says, well, you know why you did that. You've taught this stuff. You know why you did that. Yeah, I know. And see, now at this point, though, I can't say, well, what do I do about it? Because I already know what I need to do about it. And see that story with Gary? When he was telling me this, and how it had been 18 years since he had driven those trucks, that stuff was there, and it was growing, and it was getting worse, and he didn't even know it. Just assume you've got stuff in you that's been there for 18 years, growing, getting... Now, I'm not trying to scare people. You understand the imagery in this. You need to put the Holy Ghost cream on it. And you need, through this time of prayer, to start cutting off some of the stuff from your past that would be impacting your future. In other words, alter what's already been altered. And I can tell you right now, I'm firmly convinced that in my own life, it's only through this kind of relationship with God that I have altered my life from the way I had altered it in the past. In other words, the dumb stuff I did in the past is not controlling my destiny in God. I'm yielding more and more of me over it to God for Him to control my destiny. And see, guys, I want to encourage you with this tonight. We are all in this kind of a situation. Assume you need the prayer. And pray. Turn the Holy Ghost loose on the inside through this kind of prayer. And allow Him to begin helping you in these areas that you don't even know exist. And the end result is junk purged, Christ exalted. You decrease, He increases. And you conform to His image. Praise God. Listen, if it weren't for His mercy and grace, we wouldn't have this chance. But it's out of His mercy and grace, He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help them with these things that they don't even know are in their lives. Man, that's love. That is love. And He doesn't even penalize us for not knowing. Glory to God. So listen, guys, be encouraged. Really, be encouraged. Just assume, I got junk in me. Don't know it's there, but I'm going to assume it's there. And start praying. Turn the third person of the Godhead loose in your life and bring about the change that God desires.